She what's it say? Hear and believe. Unless you're believing what you're hearing, it does no good at all in your life, does it? And we know everything you hear on the news is true. And everything you hear on the internet is true. But what you hear in the Word of God, we can take to the bank, it is truth. And we're going to talk about a parable that Jesus used to illustrate the kingdom of God and the good news of the gospel, and how that he sowed that seed, and how he used an example of four different types of ground that received that seed, and the difference in those four types of grounds. And which one are you today? He just four illustrations I think is pretty powerful, talking about the good news and the gospel. So chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, says this. The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He had so many people listening, he had to get away to where they could see him. Now, one thing interesting about this culture, y'all would hate this. Y'all just wouldn't come to church if this happened. Nobody would. Y'all just wouldn't do it. In that culture, it was appropriate and showed honor for the teacher and the Word of God that the teacher or preacher would sit during the whole service and the congregation would stand. Yeah, Kevin's like, yeah, I wouldn't be doing that. But that was part of the culture, that they sat and the congregation stood. So here they are standing to hear the words of Jesus. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now let's first identify what a sower is so we're all on the same page. It's not a sewer, it's a sower. Okay? A sower is a person that plants something. A sower is someone that puts something in the ground. Anybody grew a garden this year? Melanie's so proud of that. Yes, I grew a garden. We got 5 squash, 2 cucumbers, and 1/2 tomato. That's awesome. No, we got a little more than that. We got a little more than that. We did get a lot more than that. God's been good. He's been good. A watermelon died, but, you know, because I cut the vine when I was holding the weeds out. That's my fault. Anyway, you know, it's fun to plant a garden. It's not maybe fun to plant it, but it's fun to reap it, right? And when you go out there and you're like, that was a seed when I started. I got a cantaloupe. I got a squash. And that was a seed. What did you have to do? You had to till the ground, which is hard work. You had to get the seed in there. You had to make sure it got watered, it got sunlight, kept the weeds from choking it out, all of that stuff, kept the deer out of it, the raccoons, the possums, whatever eats your garden. Had to keep all that stuff out of it. Your neighbors, I'm not playing. Had to keep all that stuff out of it so that it would produce something. So a sower is someone that puts something in the ground. Nothing can be produced until it's first planted. When you're raising your kids, you're always sowing into their lives, right? You're always sowing seeds of advice, of love, of compassion, of direction, of wisdom. You're sowing seeds their whole lives, hoping it will produce the desired fruit. So Jesus says a sower goes to sow. The sower is the one that plants it, and of course, he's sowing a seed. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, but because they had no depthness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Then he says, who hath ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying here, I want you to understand what I'm saying. This is something deep about the kingdom. You've got to hear it, and you've got to understand it before you can produce it. You've got to understand what you're hearing. It can't just be something that goes one ear and out the other. It can't be something that we just don't care to know. It's got to be something we have a desire for. God, I want to know what your word means. I want to know what you're talking about. And I want it to be such knowledge in my life that it produces fruit in my life. Because it's supposed to produce something. Faith is supposed to change us, right? Faith's not just a word we use or in a song we sing. Faith is supposed to change us, which means What are some of the fruits we should be producing as Christians? We know what the Bible says, love, meekness, kindness, all that good stuff. But you know what? In everyday life, our fruit should be things like, I should be able, as Melanie just said a while ago, I should be able to walk in joy even when sorrow is all around me. I should be able to walk in victory when defeat surrounds me. I should be able to walk in peace when fear is all around me. My faith should be more than just words or a song I sing. My faith should be applied to my life to where I'm exercising the things of God, where that resurrection power is living inside of me and coming outside of me, that others may see that I am living for God and this faith is real. It's some of you are believing aliens in outer space, and I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Some of you believe in aliens in outer space. Some of you believe in Bigfoot. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Some of y'all believe in that. You believe in them so much that you've got website blogs talking about them. You've got sightings. You write down dates you saw him. You've got the Bigfoot equipment ready to go after him. I mean, you've applied what you believe into action. You believe in something, you're going to live it. Whatever that is, you're going to live it. And Jesus here is saying that I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God and what I came to do, and some will hear it and some won't. Some will believe it and some won't. But you can't have any of the benefit of it unless you first believe it. It won't do you any good. So let's see what he says here. We're going to skip down to verse 13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, they hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. And here's why. Look at verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. It means dull. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, I should heal them. Man, he's saying people's ears don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to understand. They don't want to see. And I can't heal them. If you don't let the doctor know you're sick, if you don't go get help in your time of need, you can't get help. If your car breaks down on the side of the road and you stay there for the rest of your life hoping that some mechanic just knows it needs to be fixed, you're going to be stuck there all your life. You got to let somebody know, my car needs to be fixed. My body needs to be fixed. My money needs to be fixed. Whatever your problem is. And Jesus is saying, you know what? They don't hear. They don't understand. They're not hearing what I'm saying. They got to recognize that they need to hear it to be changed. Many of the world is not hearing the good news. They're closing a deaf ear to it. They're closing an eye to it. Don't want to hear it. Don't care about it because too many other things are more important. I was talking to some preachers the other day. Me and a preacher were talking. We're talking about how there's so much competition now on Sunday for the church business. Just how it is. I mean, let's just say it like it is. There's too much competition for the church business. There's too many places to go now. Too many things going on now. Too many other priorities that are more important now. And so we're fighting against something that we can't control anymore. It's just how it is. Too many cares. But when people understand the good news of the gospel and what the good news is and what the good news did. And here's what the good news did in case you don't know. Jesus is trying to tell them that I am the Messiah that the Bible spoke of. I'm the Messiah that all your forefathers talked about. I am He. And I am the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords. And I have come to restore the kingdom, not in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense. I have come to remove all of your sins and all of your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. I've come to make you whole. I've come to make you clean. I've come to redeem you, to reconcile you, and make you brand new. I have come to take off the darkness and give you my light. I've come to take away the stench of sin and give you my righteousness. I've come to take away your sickness and give you healing. That is the good news of the gospel. And that's what the world needs to hear and understand. There is good news in Christ. Period. Many of the Pharisees didn't understand that. They didn't believe it because they were still very, just like a lot of denominations today, a lot of preachers, a lot of movements, a lot of spiritual movements don't want anything to do with the real power of God. They want to go with tradition of what they've always known without any understanding of what Jesus has done. That, you know what? And I hate to say this because this is my job and I get it. But you know what? I am not needed whatsoever for your salvation. Jesus did it all. And for many people, they don't want to give that up. They want to keep control of the people to think that I'm needed in some special way. Because without me, you couldn't make it. Without Christ, you wouldn't make it. Without the cross, we wouldn't make it. Without our Savior, we wouldn't make it. But with God, as the Bible says, all things are possible. So the Pharisees don't want nothing to do with this message because it took away from their business. They're following Jesus to come into the synagogue and doing things and paying attention to them. You know, they're believing this Jesus message, and all of a sudden, what do you mean you don't really need me? Or what do you mean the people don't have to do all this stuff no more? No, they don't need to do all that stuff. I've done all of it for them. I fulfill the law completely. Faith in me alone is what grants them eternal life. That was a whole different message. That was a mind-blowing concept for that generation. And it still is today. We got churches that don't teach that. We got Christian churches in America that don't teach that Jesus Christ is enough, period. Period. He's enough. You don't need to add one more thing to what he did at Calvary. A lot of folks still want to hang on to things they think they've got to do in order to get to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes by me but through the Father. Understand the gospel, the good news that Jesus has declared. And if we would just hear it to the point that we use it in our lives, Melly's right. We should never. I mean, why do we let oppression? I know life happens, but man, Jesus happened too. I mean, our redemption has happened. I'm redeemed. Church, I am already been reconciled to Christ. Paul said it like this, I have now, N-O-W, present tense, I have now passed from death unto life. So I can enjoy my eternal life right now, though my flesh is aging, though my hair is falling out, though my wrinkles may increase, though my knees may grow feeble, though the outward man may perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day because of that resurrection power. Hallelujah. I've got that hope. I've got that hope. And I'll never let that go. I am now the redeemed of God because of this good news. I am now his child and always his child because of the good news. Don't let the devil take the good news out of your life. Don't let his bulletins of bad news across your screen block out the good news that Christ has already given into your life. He ain't got no power over you. You're a blood-bought child of God. The Bible says we have been sanctified, we have been justified, and we have been glorified. We've been glorified. I say it like this because some people think we got to get to heaven and get everything. Look, I really believe this. I am as saved and born again now as I can ever be. I'll be redeemed fully one day. My body redeemed, all that stuff. I got to get that. I'll be with him in heaven forever and ever. But I am already a new creation in Christ right now. The Bible is clear on that. Why are we acting like old creation whenever we've been given a new creation? Why are we not letting our faith be lived out in our lives to where we walk in that joy, that peace, that hope, that power, that authority, that anointing, that praise, that worship, that we walk in that every day because I'm his. Man, the Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. That's some power. But we don't live that power many times. We let the devil just come and do his thing. And we just roll over, and we just give in. Verse 16, he'll heal us if we will open our eyes and ears to hear what he wants to do. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears for the hear. Aren't you glad God lets you see the truth? Aren't you glad God lets you hear the truth? It's changed us, church. It's changed me. What if we did not have God in our lives today? How miserable our lives would be. What if we had no hope? There are many people walking the earth right now, all their hopes in the 60, 70, 80, 90 years of this life, that's all they got. They're living for that moment and not a moment past that. What a miserable life that is to have no hope but what we have here. I'm glad my eyes, as Paul said, are pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. That the race is before me and I'm going to run that race until I get to the finish line. And our finish line, you talk about some horns blowing and some whistles blowing and some people cheering. There's a great cloud of witnesses waiting on us to cross that line. There's a great cloud of witnesses who have been there and done that, who are encouraging, saying, you know what? It's real. It was real. It is real. And just wait till you get here. Just wait till you cross that finish line. The word of the kingdom is life to all those who will hear it. Life now and life forevermore. We get so focused. We put more emphasis on what's happening in Washington, D.C., than we do what's happening right now in our spiritual walk with God. It just doesn't matter, church. Not really. God's on the throne. He's king, no matter what. And I trust that. And I trust him above everything else. I want our desire and our heart should be the things of God more than anything else. God first, above all the other stuff, because all the stuff passes away. And it perisheth, but not the word of God. Not one part of the word of God will pass away. Look what he says in verse 17. Jesus saying this. I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you now see. And they have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. They died believing in this Messiah, believing in this kingdom coming, but didn't live to see it. You're alive to see it, Peter, John, Matthew. You're here. You're touching my hand. You're seeing my miracles. You were born. You were in the dispensation of time when the Messiah was born. Hallelujah. And guess what? We see it too. Because we're in the dispensation of time where he is resurrected forevermore. And he is sitting on the throne forevermore. There's not going to be another Jesus to come. He was it. And we're experiencing those benefits of being saved by his beautiful and wonderful grace. And we can feel God's presence. Remember what he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send you a comforter, the Holy Ghost. He'll teach you all things. He'll show you all things. And what Acts 1 says, that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall have power. He didn't leave us by ourselves. We're not powerless. You know, we blame the devil for everything. Let's say, you know what? I'm going to walk in what God has given me, this word he's given me, this power he's given me, and remind the devil that I am a child of the king, and I am stronger than him because of the power that lives inside of me. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But like I said one Sunday, we don't always want the devil to really flee. We like the devil sometimes. The devil brings us stuff we likes. It looks good. It tastes good. It smells good. It feels good. And so we don't really, how much are we really resisting? I mean, where's our willpower? Are we really resisting the point that Joseph did when he ran away from Potiphar's wife, had to run away from her to escape sin? Or are we just patty caking with the devil? Patty cake, baker's man. Bring me that woman and bring me that man. I don't know, whatever you're saying. I mean, what are we doing? Are we really resisting? It's about desire, isn't it? Do y'all know of any exercise freaks? I mean, that's all they, I mean, they're just freaks. And what I mean by that, man, that's all they concentrate on. Selfies in a mirror, you know, losing that extra 3 ounces. Oh, my God, I'm overweight 3.2 ounces. I know people like that. Get a life. But what I'm saying is this. What if we were that into the things of God as we were things like that? God, my desire is you. God, I want you. I want what you have for me. I want to hear what you got for me today. I want to taste the manna. Because my manna today is different than my manna was yesterday. I need manna for now, God. Manna yesterday was great, and it filled me. But God, I'm hungry again, and I need to be filled again with what you have for me. Will you give it to me? We want to turn a deaf ear to the things of God because it's not important to us. It's not on our priority list. If there's nothing else going on, I'll pray. Nothing, if I got time, I'll come to church. If nothing else is happening, I'll do this. You know, we're not taking the priority to say, God, you are first. And he's trying to tell his disciples, many won't hear and understand. They won't know what I'm talking about, but you do. Now he explains the parable in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Here's the four kinds of ground. 19 through 23. Here's the four kinds of ground. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away, that which is sown in his heart, that is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. This first ground is called no response. The word of God is presented, the truth is preached or taught, and there's no response. They hear it, but before anything happens, the enemy comes in, takes it away, and they don't receive it. It's like talking to a wall. Just don't hear it. I'm going to tell you something, church, if I can be just real this morning on Sunday morning. We hear what we want to hear. It's amazing how if Roger and Ralph's back in the corner talking, how some of you will kind of make your way close by, acting like you ain't trying to listen. But you really want to hear what's going on. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get a tithing envelope. Excuse me, Roger. I was trying to get a tithing envelope right here. I didn't mean to bump into you. We hear what we want to hear, man. We'll spread a Facebook rumor or something we hear on the news or TV like wildfire. We hear something at work. A little something. Half truth. Dad's the auto auction. And he hears about a guy named Frank who, I don't know, who's went out to lunch with the redhead in the office, and that ain't his wife. And before you know it, they done got her stoned and crucified upside down. And guess what? The redhead was a sister. That's how things work. We hear what we want to hear. We hear. And Melody says that all the time to me as a husband. I know I'm a guy, and I know I have selective hearing. I get that. I know that. It's how we're wired. Us guys just can't help it. It's not we don't care. We love y'all very much. We just have this thing that we just somehow can't always be on the way y'all want it on. But we do hear you. I promise. It's like I tell men, I hear the important stuff. I'm focused when I need to focus. When I need to focus, I can. How many times you said, thank for listening? You talked to me for an hour. You really thank for listening. I can focus. I really can. I guess what I'm saying is, I hear what I want to hear. Here's the deal. We hear what we want to hear. So when it comes to things of God, if we're not understanding something, maybe we're not wanting to understand it. Maybe we're not wanting to hear it. Maybe we're just not interested in hearing it. Maybe we don't understand the power it can have in our lives. Maybe we don't want to. It's kind of like some of you, not my mom. My mom's a baby boomer, and my mom is very tech savvy for a baby boomer. She really is. I'm proud of her. My mom is a lot closer to 70 than she is 60 now, a lot closer. And she is very tech savvy to be her age. She truly is. But there are some of you folks, man, you put an iPhone in your hand, I don't want that. Like it's the devil, like a rattlesnake. I don't want that. No, I don't mess with that. You don't even try to learn it. You don't even try to learn how to send a text. It's not hard. You won't even try to learn how to answer the phone. I don't know which button to push. I don't want this. I don't want to. Oh, an iPhone can change your life. It really can. It's got all kinds of neat things. It's got your built-in camera. It's got navigation. It's got a place you can make notes on your phone. And if you need to make a grocery list and put your notes on it, it's got, you know, you can text, you can call, you can FaceTime, you can Snapchat, you can tweet, you can text, you can measure things. You can talk to a woman you don't even marry to. Her name's Siri. It's pretty cool. Hey, Siri, am I hot? I'm not equipped to answer that. It's really neat. I just tell you, there's all kinds of things you can do with the iPhone. That you are, do what? Huh? Oh, that's right, yes. You can, but you're missing out because you don't want to learn it. And that's okay, you don't want to learn it. That's fine, that ain't for everybody, I get that. But that's how people are spiritually. I don't want to, you don't even know what you're turning down sometimes. You know? You don't even know what you're turning down. Melly has never tried. She thinks she don't like it, but she never tried it. She don't know she don't like it. I honestly believe you actually cannot say you don't like something unless you actually try it. Melly has never tried cottage cheese, ever. You haven't either, D? Never tried cottage cheese. You may like it. You don't know. Don, have you ever had liver mush? Do you like liver mush? You didn't have it up in Pennsylvania, did you? So you had it when you came south. It's an acquired taste. But Don acquired it. This Yankee eats liver mush. We can. You need to try things. Try the Word of God. Try what His way. Lord, I hear the good news, and I believe it. You died for me. You gave your life for me. There's eternity waiting on me. God, I believe that. I want that. There's hope for me. There's peace for me. There's joy for me. There's strength in my life. Yes, yes, yes. You mean, God, you're never going to leave me, never forsake me. I'll never be by myself. That's exactly right. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's the life I want to live. But we reject it, and we let the devil take it away before we even let God get it inside of us. Verse 20, here's the second kind of ground. First one, no response. Second one. He that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and he receiveth it with joy, yet he does not have root in himself, but he endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, the word, because of the word, he is offended. So here's someone that gets the word. Randy comes, he gets the word, he gets saved, he's on fire, and then the first storm comes up. Stephanie fusses at him all the time. So all of a sudden, Randy's backtracking. Well, I don't know about this God thing. I mean, I thought things would be good. My wife's fussing at me, you know. My job fired me. Stuff starts happening. This is called an emotional response. This is emotional ground where someone receives it emotionally. And we've all made emotional decisions, right? That's why it's important you don't make emotional decisions. Most time, your emotional decisions are wrong decisions. When someone cuts you off in traffic and you make an emotional reaction, that's normally not the right reaction, is it? Yeah. You know, when a referee calls a bad play on your team and you yell out something you shouldn't and the whole stadium turns around and look at you, you're like, ooh, probably shouldn't have said that. That was an emotional reaction. You know, when you snap at your wife and you snap at your husband, you snap at your kids, most time that's an emotional reaction. I'm not saying it don't need to be. I mean, your kid's acting a fool, you need to calm down. But sometimes it's an emotional reaction. Here's a person that hears the word and they receive it. Oh, yay, Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me. I believe in the kingdom. I'm going to have everlasting life. I'm never going to die. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Woo, yeah, glory. And then life happens and something arises. And this is the one I see a lot as a pastor in the church. People receive it. They come for a while. They're engaged. They're serving, and then something happens. I've got people like that right now I'm dealing with in this church right now who are not coming because of things in their life that has pulled them away. When your faith is real, it will remain through everything. It don't mean it won't be tested, and it won't be shaken. And don't mean you won't have doubts, but you'll have a measure of faith that will always remain. Through every storm and through every trial. I've had my share of storms. Melanie's had her share of storms. But we've always had our faith in God. That has never changed. Through whatever. It's a faith that remains. No matter what you go through. You know, the Marines have a saying. I don't understand why they're the only ones that say this, to be honest. But they say it. Once a Marine, always a Marine. I guess they're the only ones that say that. What if we had that same thing spiritually? Once a child of God, always a child of God. Once a believer, always a believer. Once saved by grace, always saved by grace. Once blood bought, always blood bought. Reminding the enemy, yes, I may be failing. I may be a little weak right now, but I am not lost my faith in God. It is the thing that keeps me going. That's the second soil, is emotional response. Here's the third one. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This is worldly response, a worldly response. People get it and they receive it, but then the things of this world become more important than the things of God. And it pulls them out. It's more important I do this. And I see this all the time. People, and I see not just this church, I talk to other pastors, it's in every church, where people will choose that their kid will be on a travel team and miss 6 months of church on Sunday because they got to play a game and spend all thousands of dollars. It's expensive. And travel and be gone two or three every weekend away from their family. Instead of saying, let's hang on here. Let's find out what's really important. What's the main? The old saying, right? Keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing for all of us should be our relationship with God. If anything gets in the way of that, it's probably not good for our lives. Not saying we can't do other things. But man, there is such a priority now on doing other things more than hearing and serving and obeying and following and committing to the Word of God. Too many other things happening. We live in that world. You know, 100 years ago, the seas separated us, right? Nobody went anywhere. I mean, outside their country, hardly. Maybe a ship or a boat, but 100 years ago, people didn't travel. People stayed where they were. I mean, 100 years ago, it was 100 years ago, to travel 100 miles would have been a trip, a real trip. You know, back in the old days, horses went 18, 20 miles a day. So, I mean, think about it. I mean, to get to Florida on a horse, good Lord, take you 2 months. I mean, man, Mickey be gone by the time you got there. Now it's instant, right? Airplanes, just instant. We can go anywhere. We get in our car now. Don't think about it. I mean, we go anywhere now. We don't think about it. Me and Mel don't think about it, you know? We've left here at the church on Sunday and went to Boone to eat lunch. It's something we do. Just get in the car and go. The world has changed. And there's so many things that now come in. And here's the person Jesus says, they hear about the kingdom, they hear about the eternal life, but then the care of the world, money, riches, possessions, stuff gets in the way. Distracts and pulls us off course. And they don't walk in that anymore. And here's the last ground. Here's the ground we should all be. Verse 23. But he that receives seed into good ground is the person that heareth the word, understandeth it, and also beareth fruit. Understand, the other three never bore fruit. It's the only ground that bears fruit. Bears fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30. Our faith, if it's real, should be producing fruit that is real. Doesn't mean a perfect life, but it means we should be producing something that shows we are God's child. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in commitment. I'm serving God. I'm walking in peace and strength and hope and joy and power. I'm submitting to God. I'm surrendering to God in my life. I'm producing fruit that shows my faith is real. It's not just something I say. It's something I live. Real faith produces fruit in our lives, and that fruit will remain. Some of you have been saved. Brent, how long have you been coming? How long have you been going to church? How many years have you been in church? Your whole life? Or since you? How long have you been coming? Over 40 years. So Brent has been in church serving God over 40 years. Think about that. A lot's happened in 40 years. A lot of changes. Raised kids, been married, changed jobs. Life's changed. But through all the storms and trials for 40 years, there's times I'm sure Brenda lost hope, was discouraged, worried, stressed, but never lost her faith in God. not our faith in God, that fruit remains 40 years later. For some of you, it might be longer than that. You've served God. I've been serving God. I got saved at 9 years old. So for 15 years, I've been serving God. And, you know, it'll be a lot more as I grow older. But, you know, I got saved at 9. I mean, I got saved for all the bad stuff, before I got involved in bad stuff. You know, God got me before it got maybe to the point it was been a lot harder for me. And I'm thankful for that. Because that grace and that mercy kept me through so many things growing up as a young person. And my faith was real. And my faith helped me make right decisions. My faith kept me grounded in bad times. My faith helped me overcome temptations because my faith was real. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. As the Word of God, as the good news is being preached and taught, as you read your Bible, as you hear what God has to say, are you allowing it to change you? Or is it just laying by the seaside getting washed away? Like the shells on a beach. You know, the tide comes in, washes shells up, goes out, washes more shells up. It's a continual cycle of new shells coming up on the seashore. Or are you a shell that remains and says, you know what, the tide comes in and out, but I remain. My faith remains. My faith is real. Let your faith be real and receive it on good ground and understand the good news and walk in the good news and let God speak in the inner man, not just here. Don't make an emotional response. Don't make an emotional conversion. Say, Lord, I understand what you did and I am ready to follow you no matter what the cost. A lot of folks follow God until there's a cost. Until there's something that attacks them. Then all of a sudden. I've seen it in married couples. I have people call me. And of course, most time it's women calling me. The men don't want to come to church. And I say, my husband don't want to come to church. My boyfriend don't come to church. What do I do? I say, you stay on the path God put for you. He can come or not. You stay on the path God put for you. You can't make them come. But don't you sacrifice your walk for them. You stay faithful to God. And let God work on them. So, hear the word, understand it. Hearing is believing. And this is something that is not too good to be true. Am I saying that right? Yeah, it's not too good to be true. Because you know, the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't. Well, this is not too good to be true. Somehow that don't sound right. Anyway, this is good enough that it's true. Right, but this is good enough to be true, and it is true. That don't sound good, though. But anyway, y'all get the point. Huh? It's good and true. It's all good. God is good? And all the time? There you go. Margie, come on up and play something for us. Let's stand our feet. I just want to pray this morning over the congregation. I want to pray a specific prayer this morning for all of us in here this morning. Lord, I want to ask of you that you will open every ear in this room to hear the good news, the gospel. God, I pray you open up, that you bypass our intellect, you bypass our emotion, and that God, you plant your word deep in our hearts, that we will hear, we will receive, we will believe, and we will produce the fruit that you have for our lives. I pray you open up our hearts to understand the truths you're trying to pour into us. God, I pray that you give us a new desire for the things of you. That the world is so competitive around us. There's so many things to pull us away from the church setting, from God's people, from your word. I pray, God, that you will open our hearts and give us a desire, pour in us a new desire to want you more than anything else, Lord. That we will love you more than anything else, that we will serve you above anything else. Pour your spirit upon us today, God, as we stand in your presence. We will see and hear and produce that which you have called us to see, called us to hear, and called us to produce. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen.